1985, Virginia Emmerich, Louisville Unit, Women's Overseas Service League, interviewing Mrs. Gertrude N. Gay, Women's Overseas Service League. Gertrude, will you tell us something about, first of all, I think, give us a little bit of what you were doing, where you were, and when you decided to join the service, and what group you did attach to.
When I joined the service, I was just completing my nurse's training at Jewish Hospital in Louisville, Kentucky. And I joined the service through the American Red Cross. I completed all my various paper work and had my physical and was waiting for my state board finals to come back, and as soon as I did receive those, I went immediately into service and had my basic training at Fort Benjamin Harris in Indianapolis, Indiana. I went in May 1944. After basic training, I was sent back to Fort Knox in Louisville and worked at the cantonment hospitals on Fort Knox base. I thought I did not join the Army just to see Kentucky. So the first unit that they had volunteers listings up on the board for, I added my name to the list that I wanted to go overseas. And when the unit, when they called us, our service overseas was in September of 1944. We were sent to Fort, up to Camp Kilmer, where we, the whole unit was brought together. And that was the first time as a unit that we had even gotten to know each other, meet each other. We were pulled from several different places in the country. We came together for Camp Kilmer for a couple weeks of training, and then we were left for overseas service on October the 12th, 1944.
Gertrude, what made you volunteer to go into service?
As I was getting toward the end of my nurse's training, they were telling us, they were doing a lot of pep talking about we need nurses in the Army, we're very short of nurses. If we don't get enough nurses to go into the Army, we're going to have to start drafting them. I was interested in going into service. I was interested because my dad had been a Spanish-American War veteran, and I was very proud of his service and had always been interested in his tales of war. When he was in service, I had been active in veterans organizations. I had practically grown up in the Spanish-American War Veterans Auxiliary on the color team and had gone to state conventions. So I was interested in serving, and I decided that there was no sense in me starting a career as long as my country needed me. So I went on into service, completing all of the paperwork and getting ready at the time that my state board said that I was a registered nurse, that I could go ahead and be served.
Well, let me ask you this. Did was your pay comparable to what you'd had it in civilian life if you'd continued as a civilian when you went into the military?
The first job that I was offered as a, and I had not completed my state, I had completed my state boards, but the grades had not come back, but I was hired by the Louisville General Hospital in the psychiatric unit as a nurse, which was one of the highest paying general duty positions that was available at that time. The Army pay was in excess of the civilian pay that I would have been receiving at that time. It was something like $120 a month was the base pay that I went to work at General Hospital for. The Army pay was $150 plus your maintenance and housing and uniforms.
Okay. What about your opportunities in the service advance or for further education? Were there those opportunities?
Those opportunities were not stressed at that time. We were in the midst of the fighting. War was very heated at that time in Europe. The need for nurses and medical personnel was such that they were not stressing the education factors at that particular time.
What assignment when you were got a placement overseas, what was your particular assignment?
In the hospital unit that I was shipped over with, which happened to be the 196th General Hospital, we knew that we were going to be operating as a full general hospital. My background and my favorite line of work at that time, I had done a lot of scrubbing in surgery and loved surgery, so I was interested in being a scrub nurse in surgery. And this is the type of job that I was doing when we first set up. Later, as the injuries became less, I left the operating room and went onto the units and went to work in the psychiatric area, which of course was, I had a little bit of background. Being a new nurse, I had very little background in anything other than just nurse's training.
I see. Well, now, what was the site of this hospital?
196, when we left New York on October the 12th, we thought we were headed for England. We were told we were going to set up as a general hospital in the rear echelons of the fighting in England. We left on the Queen Mary. It took us 5 days to cross, and it was there were several hospital units on the ship, as well as many other units on that ship. By the time that we docked in Europe, we found out, no, we were not going to England. They were going to send us on over to France. So we docked in Scotland. They loaded us on a train. We took the train to England and got off at Southampton into a cattle loading shed right by the docks and waited for the boats to be boarded and to cross the channel. And the 3 days that crossing the channel was probably the most unhappy time of our lives, because it was a dirty boat. The conditions on the boat were most unsatisfactory. We were sleeping in the regular crew sailor type of hammocks, four tiers. There was insufficient facilities for sanitary conditions in the restrooms or at the dining facilities. They could not, nurses in the Army went in as second lieutenants, but they told us that they could not mess us with the rest of the officers, that we were messed with the enlisted personnel, and they definitely were unsatisfactory conditions for the place to be. We were glad to get off the boat. But we got off the boat.
Unpleasant.
When we landed, we were told that we had to land in Class A uniform, which meant low-cut shoes and your skirts and full dress uniform. We came over the sides of the boat on these little landing boats in on ropes into your LSTs and went up to the shores on LSTs, landing on the muddy banks of France. We landed at Omaha Beach.
Were you all dressed in your dress uniforms when you boarded the ship, or did you have to change on the boat?
Well, we were on the boat for 3 days, and so...
Crossing the channel.
Crossing the channel. We were in Class A uniform, but...
You'll have to explain Class A.
Class A uniform meant the full dress green uniform with the brown shirt and the tie and the low-cut shoes. And it was a most unsatisfactory type of uniform to be landing on the muddy shores of France for the simple reason that it had been raining all that summer in France. And Omaha Beach was pretty much of a muddy area. They had ramps down. The Army had made a landing strips for us to land. In fact, all of the various Army personnel and equipment was coming in on Omaha Beach on these landing strips that had been made by the engineers.
While we're on the subject of uniform, what other type of clothing did you wear during the time you were in service? And did you like the type of uniform they had? Did you think it was appropriate?
When we went into service, we were issued all of our white uniforms, and we did not get the blue uniform that was worn by nurses in World War I, but we did get the blue cape. We were issued the new OD uniforms that were just coming out for the nurses. When they decided that they were getting us ready to go overseas as a unit, before I left Fort Knox, I was issued the brown and white stripe wraparound uniforms rather than the white uniforms. And we were given our OD cape and the rest of our uniform that we had not received when we initially came into service.
After you landed, what sort of housing were you put in? In fact, what sort of housing did you have along the way? Were there immense differences in the places?
After we landed in Europe, immediately they didn't know what to do with us. We waited for a long time in a staging area, the whole unit, because we were brought over unexpectedly on new orders that had been cut, thinking we were going to England. These new orders had not apparently caught up with us too long ahead of us. And so they had to go and pitch tents for us and get things ready and get trucks to haul us. So we stayed in a staging area, which was a big open field for almost the greater part of a day before the trucks arrived to pick us up and take us to this place where we were going to make... call home for the next month. We learned we were going to take over the 5th General Hospital, which had been over since right after the invasion. And they were moving up with Patton's unit, and we were going to take over the hospital that they had established. But there were not enough quarters for us to go into with the hospital still there. So they housed us in an apple orchard about a mile away from the hospital. They threw up tents on wet ground, big hospital tents that would house about 20 nurses in a tent. And they had to put the little pot-bellied stoves at either end of the tent and make facilities for us to go into. So when we did go in, were taken by the trucks to this area, we were cold, wet, hungry, and the tents were most disappointing because they were placed over wet ground. They were they had been equipped with just the little hospital canvas cots, and each nurse was issued two blankets. That was it. So the first night, three of us slept with two cots thrown together, and all of our blankets shared, the six blankets among the three nurses. Somebody slept on the rails, and I think I hit the rails most of the time, but there were three nurses to two cots with six blankets, three underneath and three over us that first night. Very little sleeping was done, I assure you.
You can stand that. Continue with your journey and give us some ideas.
We stayed in this area for a month, and we would go back and forth. We had to walk to the hospital for meals. We walked to the hospital and worked with the unit that was occupying the area, learning the patients and the equipment that they were leaving for our use and for our care. And then we would have to walk back to these cold, miserable tents at night. But we got to work more as a unit. I think because of the discomfort, we became a unit. And about 2 weeks later, they took part of our nurses and sent them up to Paris because they needed more nurses in the hospitals up there. Those of us that were left back at the unit really got to know our people. Our chaplains, they were our steadying forces for us. They had the recreation tent. We would gather together and huddle and play cards or sing. We did a lot of singing then, and met nightly, actually, for the social activities, and got to know each other on first-name basis.
Well, let me ask you.
We really got to be good friends.
What hours did you put in, and what were your free hours?
We would go to the hospital and would work a 8-hour day. And then when we got back to, after meals and all, we would go back to this apple orchard at night. And it was during this evening time that we really had the social activities going on. In one big tent, the chaplains tried to make as much of a social tent as they could. And it was here that we really, we gelled as a unit.
Well, after you put in your time there, where did they move you, or where did you go?
We were in this apple orchard until, I remember eating Thanksgiving dinner out in, and one thing I forgot to mention is that later our mess cooks and our dietitian and the officers got a mess tent set up that we were doing our own cooking finally in this apple orchard area, but we were eating in mess gear out just standing. We didn't have tables and chairs to sit down to. And I remember Thanksgiving dinner sitting are standing out in the rain with the mess gear, having probably as much water in the mess gear as we had food. But we still were eating the food prepared by our own cooks and under the directions of our dietitian.
Were you able to keep warm, keep yourself? Did you have heavy enough clothing where you worked?
They had to issue us some mail, some of the mail equipment, the pants and combat boots and this sort of thing, because as we came over the channel, some of our luggage did not follow us. Bed rolls were lost. Foot lockers were lost, so that most of us got one piece of the two pieces of luggage. We either got a bed roll or we got our foot locker. We didn't get both, so we had some of our equipment lost. And to make do, they did issue us men's trousers, men's combat boots, field jackets, this sort of thing, to make up for what had been lost. But we were warm as we could be. I can remember some letters going home to my mother telling that I was cold, and I can remember her sending me, in one of the first packages I received from her, a pair of long-legged, long-sleeved underwear.
Well, you did use it, didn't you?
By that time, it had gotten warmer.
Oh, look. All right. While you were in that group, did you have any other memorable experience that you want to say before you talk about moving on? Do you keep in touch with any of those people anymore,
yes,
by the way?
Yes, we still have a newsletter that comes out once a year. One of our ladies, Captain Walker, and Ma Bennett, who lives down in St. Petersburg, Florida, have sent for many years a newsletter of those people who are still, they have contact with. We hear a little bit of news of each of people that are still keeping in contact with her. We get a little bit of news fed to us each year about what they're doing, how many children they have.
Oh, yeah.
How many operations they had, who's retiring, whose grandchildren are doing what, this sort of thing. So we do, there's a yearly newsletter that comes out.
I see. Well, from then, where did you go? Did you go as a unit, or where did you go?
We stayed at this hospital we took over, was at Carentan in France. And Carentan was not too far from Omaha Beach. I have had the pleasure of going back last year on a trip to Normandy and actually visited Carentan. The bus driver made a little detour and went to Carentan. It's not the little country town anymore. They have a nice big shopping center, and there's very little that remains of the where the old unit had set up right outside the town. But we stayed there. During the war, we were there from when we took over, right after Thanksgiving, until in May of the next year. We stayed there and took care of our wounded that were coming back on hospital trains, and were coming back also in ambulances, but mostly on the hospital trains.
Where were the battles being fought at that time?
The battles were gradually moving on past Paris. They had gotten up to Paris, and then after that on had moved on up. And of course, the big Battle of the Bulge, we got a lot of wounded back. And then it wasn't too long after that that we started getting not the wounded, not our wounded, but we were getting German wounded back.
How come?
We became a POW hospital.
I see.
And before we left Carentan, we became a POW hospital with the POW doctors and corpsmen. And
was language a barrier?
No, it not really, because there were a lot of corpsmen who had a little bit of knowledge of English. Also, the friendly smile and the knowing that we were willing to help them, I think, did a lot to help the language barrier. I have never learned German, even though I since have lived in Germany for several years. I never have learned German, but I have been able to communicate with the Germans very much. I feel we're very much a part of their heritage because my background is German.
Right. Then you went after you, or how long were you there in the POW?
We left the POW unit finally with all German doctors and corpsmen, with a very small crew of Americans left in supervisory positions. And we moved to Cherbourg and here again took over another general hospital that was being sent to the Pacific. And we took their hospital and operated it as a hospital for our mentally ill patients. We actually were the last water evac hospital out of that area. A lot of our mental patients, at that time, they were not sending them by airplane when they were discharged or when they were coming back to the States for more care. And rather than send them by plane, they were sending them by ship. So in Cherbourg, we operated the last hospital there, the water evac hospital.
Did you have any contact with any well-known officers or are people who in their service have become national figures?
Not that I can recall. I am sure that some of our doctors have later gone on to become well known in their various services, but personally I do not recall any.
Well, what was the attitude of the POWs? Were they thankful also, and did you receive?
They were thankful to be out of the war.
Oh, I see, yes. So they were thankful
and
for your service.
They
where would they go from your hospital? Where would they send them after they were ready to leave?
Well, if they were maimed enough, they were rehabilitated back into their own country because they knew that if they lost arms and legs and so on, that they would not be put back into service, so that they were sent back. And they did not want to go back. They were well housed and getting good food, and this is something that many of those troops had not had for some months. Well, your German patient actually was in a lot worse shape than many of our American soldiers because they had gone on very slim rations, and the frontline soldiers were not getting the best of food or equipment. They were, many of them were your were your soldiers that had come from the countries that Germany had overrun, Austria and Czechoslovakia, and there, and those people were the frontline soldiers. They were not your SS troops.
I see. So, would they go into camps set up for them when they became able-bodied again?
They would be. They would be sent to POW camps if they became well enough that they could. There were camps around in the area of France where we were. There were POW camps. And then later they were repatriated.
But did you get into France at any time on leave or any free time?
I had 2 leaves to Paris. In fact, I spent my 22nd birthday going to Paris. Had a 3-day pass, and we went up on the train. But you would never think that we were going to Paris. We had 4 buckle arctics on, big field coats with the linings in, which we used. The linings could be unbuttoned and used as bathrobes. We had 2 army blankets under our arms and 3 days of K rations.
You had to take that when
so
you went
we did
into
that.
Paris.
And made sure we had a flashlight because the lights were not on in Paris.
Oh. So where did you stay in
We
Paris,
stayed
then?
In some of the very best hotels at that time. There was a officer's hotel, and then there was another hotel that was designated for female officers. And this is where we stayed. I don't remember the name. We wanted to see Paris. We had heard of Pigalle, and we had heard of the Follies. We wanted to see many of the sights of Paris. And we did take several tours that were being offered to the old Eiffel Tower and Arc of Triumph and all of the various things. We did these tours during the day, but we wanted to go to some of the night spots, and we finally imposed on our very good chaplain to take us to the Follies Bergère and to see Pigalle. He certainly was a very good friend and still is. I still correspond with him and his wife. He has since retired. Lives in over in North Carolina.
Were any of these tourists taken by civilians, or were there any civilians moving around in Paris at that time?
There were civilians, but you didn't see a lot of the civilians. They were really interested in finding food and taking care of themselves. They were very poor. And it was a real day-to-day struggle just to exist for them. There were tours that were set up by Red Cross and by the army organizations for us to take. And there were tour buses being operated, not on the scale that you think of tours nowadays, but there was something at least to be to do while we were in Paris that was organized by the army. So they were trying to give us a little bit of sightseeing tours on our
How did you get up to Paris from your hospital?
We went on a train.
Oh, on the train. Okay. Uh-huh. Was that comfortable?
The train was comfortable. They did not have dining cars on the train. That was why we had to carry the K rations for the trip up and then the trip home. The train took a long time to go to Paris, and it's surprising what a short distance it really is to cover since I have traveled it in peacetime. But at that time it took us a long time because we kept being sighted to let the express trains go through that were carrying the frontline equipment and to our soldiers. So the Red Ball trains were getting through and we would be sighted. So, and this happened 3 or 4 times on the way up.
Okay.
And it was a long, slow trip going up to Paris. I remember coming into sight of Paris, and the first thing you saw was the Eiffel Tower. When I went back to Paris just last year, you don't see Paris, you don't see the Eiffel Tower as you come into Paris. There's a lot of skyscrapers now, but the Eiffel Tower was a huge thing to be seen against the sky as we came into Paris. in 44 and 45, or actually it was in 45 that was my first trip up there.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the railroads also were not in too good a shape. There were times when they had to mend a track and so on as we went up to.
I see. Well, tell me about, in working, were there any memorable things in working in that hospital that you can think of before you move on to your next location?
Those were the only two hospital sites that I served in overseas.
All right. Oh, well then, besides Paris, did you get to any other spot in France?
I did get to several spots on leaves. I got to Mont Saint-Michel. I went through Greenock, and which was a seaside resort type place. And then I did some day trips around in the area of where we were stationed. But for the most part, unless you had a day leave or a 3-day pass, you were on duty. And at first we were doing 12-hour duty. When we actually finally got set up and got our hospital going, we did 12-hour night duty, 8-hour day duty. And one of my most memorable times that I can recall is the Christmas of 1944. We were at Carentan. We already had German POWs in the stockade, and they were helping with many of the tasks in the unit. Our soldiers were getting a lot of trains back with wounded. And we were trying to do what we could to make it seem Christmassy for them. And I can remember us painting regular white light globes colors so that we could put them on the tree and decorate a tree with colored bulbs. Our chaplains went out and got some trees. Trees were very hard to come by in France. There were very few trees left because people had used them as firewood. And, of course, we had cut down some trees for heat, too. But the chaplains were able to locate some evergreen trees that we were able to have a tree on every ward. And we got the ward active to make ornaments. And it's really something to see grown men sitting there making paper chains to dress up a Christmas tree. But they threw all their heart and soul into dressing up those trees. And they were some of the most beautiful trees, I'm sure, that we had seen for a while. I can remember the chaplain being very active in organizing the choir. Nurses, our enlisted personnel, and some of our doctors and officers joined that choir, and we had gotten our field organ, and we started just at dusk and went from tent to tent singing Christmas carols. And it was an experience to hear some of these German prisoners of war that were on the various units singing their Silent Night in German while we were singing ours in English.
You mentioned tents. You mean the hospital set up for tents?
Our hospital was never in permanent buildings. We never lived in permanent buildings. We were always in tents.
Ah. Wow.
There were concrete blocks poured for a general hospital, a plan, and then the tents were thrown up over these concrete blocks.
Oh. So about how many men were you serving as patients?
We
I say men, were there any women?
I can remember very few women. A few women who... Some of our French people who had been injured by some of the field bombs that were, as they had tried to do their plowing of their fields and all, they had set off these Bouncing Betsies and all and had gotten injured from them. They were things that had been left by the Germans as they retreated. And, of course, we were warned not to go into the hedgerows in between the various fields divided. In France, you don't have fences. You have hedgerows. And those hedgerows were all mined. And so you didn't go off the beaten path. But we would get maybe a daughter and her mother had been out gathering wood for their fire, and the little girl had strayed off into the hedgerow and become injured. We had several of these come in. While I was still working in surgery, we had some very bad cases of leukemia injuries. But
what was the number you thought?
The hospital was set up as a 1,000-bed hospital. Actually, before we turned it over to the German POWs to operate as a POW hospital, it was a 1,500-bed hospital. But it was all set up in tents. We never had any permanent buildings at all. We had one of these metal huts that was set up as surgery.
Yes.
But that was the only metal hut in the whole building.
Would you have, I'm interested in the physical setup then, would you have a nurse's headquarters something in each tent?
You would have a nurse's station.
Station.
And then you would have six hospital tents.
I see.
And
one nurse,
the nursing,
six.
Six tents. Hospital tents, and a hospital tent would house about, I would say, 20 to 30 beds, patient beds. And when we took over our hospital, here again, we had to set up, there was just the bare necessities in the hospital. We made ashtrays from tuna fish cans. I know when we set up our central supply for sterile dressings, while we were for tiny dressings and a lot of our cosmetic cases and jars, we cleaned up and were using for our sterile supplies. There were a lot of makeshift. You learned how to make do. The basic hospital unit came over with beds, sheets, mattresses, and pillows. And
the drugs followed, or did you get them on?
And the drugs,
in the country.
They were from the supply too. But as far as the nice conveniences of garbage cans and sterile jars and sterile trays and this sort of thing, there was the very basic type of supplies, and then you added to it.
Were the tents connected or covered from in any way? I mean, from one
tent
to
the other? We didn't have corridors from one tent to another. No, we had just paths.
Yes.
And during the very wet weather, when we first set up, our enlisted personnel were making paths of twigs, actually, woven together, and it was nothing to go out and pull up the walk in the morning out of the mud and put it on top, because it was muddy.
And consequently,
until it got really cold and froze, there was mud everywhere, and then it was frozen ground and ice.
And you were living in tents.
We lived in tents
also.
And our tents that we lived in were not heated. There was a stove there, but there was no fuel. We got a ration of fuel, so we've kind of pooled it and would put it into one of the big tents and social tents and meet there and meet for social activities.
Did you sleep in your clothes?
And then we slept with our clothes in our bedding roll with us. otherwise
you
they would
slept
be
in a bedroll on the cot.
On the cot.
Right.
And we made very good friends with one of the supply units and were able to talk them out of mattresses. So that we finally ended up with mattresses on our cots.
Moonlight requisitioning.
Definitely. That was how we got a lot of our first vehicles for our unit, too.
It helped everybody. We learned in a hurry about that. What about your relationship with the personnel? Were you allowed to mingle with socially with all or only officers, since you were an officer?
We were supposed to only mingle with officers. Our unit was unusual because our unit was one of the units that was made up when the war was in progress for a while. So we had older doctors, and our chief nurse was an older woman. And of course, some of the nurses were very young, as I was, just out of nurses' training. So that there was not a whole lot of socializing. We did socialize with our officers, but most of them were married. Most of them had families at home. And of course, they would have liked to socialize more, and we discouraged it. And in many instances, we did see our enlisted personnel. We would gather together for social activities, either with the chaplain's blessing in a social environment, so that we were with people our own age. But that's why the chaplain was so important to our unit. It was not just one chaplain. We had two Protestant chaplains and a priest in our unit. And they worked together and really made it bearable and livable for us.
Any people that you want to mention, any special person or you worked with, or patient, or someone you met, or a happening that stands out?
I've mentioned the chaplain so much that it might be nice to just name Reverend. He is a chaplain, Rickard. We also had a chaplain, Hickert, that was, he is now a minister in Indianapolis, Indiana. And these two really were very vital to our unit. They were good morale builders.
Did you see other, like Red Cross working, or Salvation Army, or any other group who did have units working for the military?
We had six Red Cross workers with our unit.
Oh, did you?
Our unit was made up of 400 enlisted men, 55 officers, 86 nurses, and 6 Red Cross workers.
I see. That was
a general hospital unit.
Uh-huh. And so that you stayed together for the most part,
right,
when
uh-huh.
you moved.
And even those that were sent on to Paris, when we did finally take over our hospital, they came back from Paris when we first went over, and they were taken to Paris while we were in the apple orchard. When we finally took over the 5th General Hospital, they came back and to work with us.
I see. Well, now, how long were you supposed, how long did you sign up for, or was there such a thing as signing up for a period?
You did not send up for a length of time at that time. It was for the duration.
I see.
And then after VE Day, things were easing off a little bit, and then after VJ Day, definitely they were talking about coming home on points. And many of us came home on points after that. I had a mother back home that I felt that I needed. She was anxious for me to come back, and I guess it was just a feeling of I wanted to get on with my life. So I came back on points and did get discharged from the service.
You returned to stay, knowing you were going to stay in the States when you came back on points. Is that that? Did you have any unpleasant moments or for one reason or another, or anything you'd like to change about the setup for the nurses during World War II? Or any conflicts you felt?
I think that the promotion system probably was, in some instances, not as fair as it should have been. I know I was a second lieutenant. I went in as a second lieutenant, and I was discharged as a second lieutenant. It seemed that because I had failed an inspection of our unit when I was an inspection of my quarters when I was at Fort Benjamin Harris as a when I was in basic, this was on my permanent record and was sort of used against me. They had found a Coke bottle in my room when they did a regular inspection. It was not mine. It was left there by somebody else, but it was on my record that I did not pass the inspection. And this was always, I was told, go against my record of getting a promotion. I guess I was a little bit immature, just out of nurses' training. I probably was not as mature as some of the other people in the unit. I was one of the youngest in our unit.
I was just going to ask you if the average was older
one of the
than
youngest.
You. I
and I think that having been in a nurses' training program, you had lived in a hospital unit where you did not go out without a pass, and you lived, you know, you were under the chief nurse's eye all the time. Going from that into an Army situation, probably I was not as grown up as I should have been. It would have helped if I'd had a few years of experience behind me before I went into the Army. But at the time, they needed us, and so we went.
What about your food generally? You didn't come home malnourished or anything
definitely
of that sort,
not.
Did you?
We had some things that we didn't, that we would have liked to have had that we did not get. We were getting the canned butter that had mostly the taste of wax in it. We got very little milk because powdered milk at that time was not that good as it has been perfected now. So our diet of milk was, I think, lacking. Eggs, we did get the powdered eggs. Our bread supplies were baked for us right at nearby our unit, and were a homemade bread style rather than the bread that you think of as bought bread. But considering the time that we were living in and the amount of supplies that were being gotten from the States to the man in the field, I think they did a real good job of supplying us because they were not only supplying Europe, but they were also supplying the Pacific at the time.
Well, when you accumulated enough points to come home, how much time had you put in service?
I had served 1 month less than 2 years.
I see. Well, how did you come back? How did you return to the
back state?
Oh, well, the joy.
I went over on the Queen Mary and I flew back on one of the large planes.
Sounds like Queen Mary would have been luxurious, but as you told us, it wasn't. It had been converted.
It had been converted.
Yeah. Most of the ships and such.
Yes.
Where did you muster out, or whatever the word is for your separation?
I was discharged in Chicago, right out of Chicago. I can't remember the name of the camp up there, but that was where I went for discharge.
Did how many people in your unit did you come back with, or did you all just come back singly?
I came back. I had contracted a infection, and I was being treated for this infection at Fort Nichols Hospital. And then I was sent to Chicago.
Did you have any, are any of your group have any serious illnesses because of their work there?
None that I have heard of.
Good.
I think that probably we're all suffering a little bit from the arthritis due to the dampness and the cold. I think our arthritis flare-ups that we probably could date back to the time that we lived in those cold, wet fields. But our medical records will not stand up for inspection. You didn't worry about it then. You might have had a rash, you might have had a cold, you got it over with and treated and tried to get back on duty as soon as possible. And so you didn't try to document things. It would have helped if we had documented a lot of the things. I know I had a lot of rashes. I would break out in hives due to the French doing my laundry and the filthy water that they were using from the river. And I would flare up with these rashes and would have to go to the emergency room and get an injection of calcium gluconate was the way that they treated it then. And
did you
get back on duty. But
did you have occasion to visit any of the natives in their home in a nice, comfortable situation? Was there
anything
like
that? We visited several homes in the areas around our camp, going into the homes. They had some lovely homes, a lot of tile inside their kitchens and things like this.
Were these people who held positions in the towns or cities? Were they mayors or councilmen or any authority of that sort did you have access to?
No. Now, probably some of our unit did, but I did not. I know one of our officers actually is married. He married one of our nurses, and they are living in France. He came from the area right around Carentan and lives in that area and is a doctor in that area. And has raised a family.
Well,
but other than that, I'm sure that some of our unit got to visit homes with them.
Uh-huh. Well, where did you continue your practice then? After you came home?
When I came home, I went to work with the Visiting Nursing Service, which was a community chest organization at that time, and it was private. It was nursing going into the homes and caring and doing public health nursing care in the homes, as against the public health nurse who is a county employee.
And the war was still going on?
The war was still going on, and at that time we were doing going into the homes, getting mothers ready for a delivery of their babies. Louisville was doing home deliveries out of the General Hospital. The interns at the General Hospital were going into the homes of patients, delivering all but their firstborns. Children. If there was no complications, then it was a home delivery. We were getting the families ready for this. I did public health nursing as a visiting nurse for 6 months, and then I decided that I had GI Bill coming to me, and I wanted to go back to school. I just had my RN 3-year nurses training back of me, and I was interested in public health and decided to go on to and get a degree in public health. So I enrolled at Peabody College in Nashville, Tennessee, and I did complete my degree program there, and I have a BS in BS in nursing with a public health major.
I see. So that was the end of your contact with any military service after you came home?
Right.
Professionally,
yes.
That is. But do you have any contact with military groups other than as a nurse? Have you continued your interest in veterans and such?
When I came back from service, I was interested in, and I became a member of the American Legion. There was a nurse's post in Louisville, and I became a member of the nurse's post, American Legions. I also was the a member of the World War II veterans, AMVETS, and was active with those two groups, and also renewed my acquaintance with the Spanish-American War Veterans Auxiliary until I married. After coming back from the Army and nurses training and all, and going right to work here, I didn't have a whole lot of time. I also wanted to go back to school before I went to Peabody. I acquired a few credits going to what is Catherine Spaulding College now, but was Nazareth College then. I took some night courses. So I was a very busy person those 6 months, even before I went down to Peabody.
Yeah. So you took advantage of the GI Bill. Well,
yes.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. That's the only part of my veterans benefits that I've taken advantage of. I think nurses have hesitated to take advantage of any of the veterans rights as far as hospitalization or medical care. I think we have come back to jobs that usually are we got married and had medical benefits, so that we have not used our VA.